U.S. economic growth flattens to the weakest level since the recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The nation's economy expanded between April and June, all right, but only at an annual rate of 1.3%, according to the Commerce Department, basically half the level needed to reduce the nation's high unemployment rate. Those numbers could come into play on Capitol Hill, where House leaders have rescheduled to today a vote to cut the federal deficit while raising the debt ceiling. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS MoneyWatch. She's with us from New York live, as she is every Friday morning. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Let's forget the politics, and I want to get to the debt ceiling debate going on in Washington. This plan versus that plan, because both plans cut spending and raise the debt ceiling. The GDP report is really disappointing. What would either one of them do, those plans, do to an already fragile economy?
Let's be clear. When the government spends less, it has a negative impact on the economy. The bigger the short-term cuts, the lower the GDP. The reduction in all government spending this year alone has shaved a little more than 1% off total growth.
These plans, Jill, don't include tax increases, right?
Nope.
So they're a down payment, I would imagine, on getting the U.S. fiscal house in order. Wouldn't that encourage private sector growth?
The evidence is murky from the consumer point of view. If taxes are at these levels, they get extra money, they're going to pay down debt. We just learned that consumer spending in the second quarter was the weakest it's been in 2 years, so companies aren't seeing enough demand for goods and services to justify new hiring. I think we're stuck here, Steve.
We're stuck. All right. Jill Schlesinger from CBS MoneyWatch. Jill, thanks.
Thank you.
Over to China now, which owns nearly $1.2 trillion of U.S. debt. China's state-run news agency Today said the U.S. is being, quote, kidnapped by dangerously irresponsible politics. But Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains, despite its concerns about a possible U.S. default, China cannot just stop investing in the American economy.
China's the largest foreign holder of U.S. debt, and this is how it works. It buys debt through the purchase of U.S. Treasury bonds, and despite the doomsday worries in Washington, China has no plans to stop. The reason, says Tsinghua University economist Michael Pettis, can be boiled down to its currency, the renminbi.
They're buying foreign assets in order to keep down the price of the renminbi, and by keeping down the price of the renminbi, they ensure that they have a current account surplus.
Current account surplus is economist lingo for trade surplus. In layman's terms, China's huge holdings of U.S. debt help keep its currency artificially low. That, in turn, keeps China's exports really cheap, so cheap that foreigners keep buying them, and that keeps Chinese people employed. This is the formula China's economy has been based on for three decades, and Pettis says China's trapped. The country is now a full-fledged U.S. Treasury bond addict. If it wanted to kick its addiction, Pettis says, it would have to find another currency that would be able to soak up a huge amount of China's money. The only one out there is the euro. But look at Greece, Portugal, and Spain. They don't look stable either. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. World markets are down at the moment, about an average of 0.5% in Europe. Colgate-Palmolive reported 10% higher revenue last quarter thanks to better sales of soap and toothpaste in South America. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ did gain a little, but the Dow lost again 62 points to close at 12,302.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Starbucks reported higher sales last quarter. Affluent Americans are still buying all those $4 double mocha lattes. A lot of people, regardless of income, are also eating at food trucks. But a new business model has those food truck owners opening up sit-down restaurants. Tracy Samuelson reports.
Three chicken tacos and one chili slider. Okay, your total's $14.
For just under a year now, the popular food truck Mexique has been serving up its blend of Mexican food and Southern barbecue all over New York City, from Midtown one day to Williamsburg, Brooklyn the next.
I think, you know, the truck is the most phenomenal marketing tool in the world. I mean, we could put this thing in the middle of Midtown on 55th and Park or 45th and 6th, and it could be very visible.
Dave Chalais is co-owner of Mexi-Q. He says his bright orange truck has been a great way to test menu ideas and locations. And at $50,000, it costs far less than a full restaurant. But now Mexi-Q is one of a growing number of food trucks across the country opening a brick-and-mortar restaurant. So why put down roots?
There's something that's always going wrong with the trucks. It's a complicated beast, the truck. And I think restaurants are just a more practical way to expand.
You don't have to worry about parking or weather, not to mention a cramped kitchen. David Weber is president of the New York City Food Truck Association. More than half the group's 27 truck owners are opening restaurants.
So I think that really speaks to the idea of the food truck as an incubator, as sort of a gateway to be a more stable part of the New York City culinary community.
So while food trucks are often talked about as a new disruptive business model, for most owners, they're more like a cautious first step. Schnitzel and Things started as a truck in 2009 and recently opened a Midtown restaurant. Here's owner Oleg Voss.
We moved into the restaurant because it was always part of the plan. I mean, we opened up the food truck with the intention of growing.
But that's not to say that food trucks will fade away. Both Schnitzel and Things and Mexi-Q say they'll never give up the truck and the marketing power it packs. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, a Lake County, Florida inmate found a way to take advantage of a glitch in the lockup's phone system. Now, inmate accounts are charged for calls and are refunded if a call doesn't go through. But the phone system was accidentally refunding twice as much money to inmate accounts. So Larry Stone started placing calls and then hanging up and doing it over and over and over again until his account racked up more than $1,200, enough to post bond and get out of jail. When other inmates started doing the same thing, jail officials finally made that connection. And Stone later was rearrested. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
As China grows economically, the environment hasn't exactly been the first thing on developers' minds.
The pattern in China has been to develop land, not to protect it.
Now some of the country's richest entrepreneurs are changing that pattern. I'm Jeremy Hobson, China's first private nature preserve. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.